Wonderful. So we're finally getting to come to the close of essentially the second section of the One True Church, the pamphlet that we have here that we've been taking our study out of this quarter. Again, just to revisit for those that may be visiting with us and the members who are just kind of maybe missed a Wednesday or something, just to recap some of that stuff. So we talked about the foundation of the church, who founded it. We established that Christ was the one that founded it. We talked about how he was the purchaser, how he was the builder, the head, the lawgiver, the savior. Then we talked about, breaking down into this, how to join the church. And we've established some of those facets already over these past couple of weeks. We've laid down that hearing is part of this as a requirement for us to join the church. That belief is a requirement to join the church. Repentance is required. Confession by the mouth is required. And tonight we're going to study about baptism. And why is baptism essential to join the church? Why is it a requirement for us? What does it mean to us? How do others among the world try to do this same very thing to establish their own beliefs? So we'll, again, when we get done with the study, some of the main topics that you want to try to be able to answer, right, is the establishment of the church, the conditions to join, the acts of worship, terminology used to describe itself, doctrine that it follows, how is it recognized, is it denominational? One point there from I believe it was last week, that we're talking about repentance a little bit too, and was mentioning the prodigal son about the repentance there. And just, I wanted to make a quick correction there, that verse 31 was actually speaking about the oldest son rather than talking about the youngest son. And I just want to make a quick clarification on that. I had got those two switched up there, so I had to make that quick one. But that brought us finishing off with repentance and confession from last week. And again, now, tonight, we're going to study about baptism. So our establishment of Scripture was Matthew 16:18. I say also unto thee, thou art Peter, upon this rock I will build my church, the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. That establishes a who, a what, and what can not go against it as well. So Christ builds his church, gates of hell shall not establish against it. The what is the church, how do we join that church? What are the conditions to join Christ's church? So, what does it mean to be a member, to join something? Melos is the Greek term for member. Again, some of this may be a refresh for you all that's been here through this study. For some of those that are new, to be a member of something, one must join that something. The body itself has multiple members that make it up and are joined together. Hence, we got the physical body. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 12, for as the body is one and hath many members, all the members of the body, being many, are one body. So also is Christ. We're establishing ourselves to be that member unto Christ. So we've established in Romans 10:17, hearing. In Acts 18, verse 8, belief. Repentance, Acts 2:38. Repentance, there's also baptism in there that we'll cover tonight. Confession, Romans 8:37, with Philip and the eunuch. And tonight, baptize or baptism. Our passage that we're going to start off with is 1 Peter chapter 3 in verse 21 to help us establish this first point. 1 Peter chapter 3 in verse 21 says, the like figure whereunto even baptism doth also now save us. Not the putting away the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God. By the resurrection of who? Jesus Christ. Baptism does what? It also now saves us. So we've established that baptism, now according to this verse, does something that hearing helped establish belief, helped establish repent, helped establish confession, helped establish baptism, all leading to salvation. Why is baptism important? Why is it important to join Christ's church? I thought I would share this. It was kind of an interesting aspect that I found here as I was preparing this. So baptisms around the world, just various different places that utilize the term baptism and the function of it, I thought it was a very interesting concept that only four out of however many that was here actually did full immersion baptism. We see that the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, the Pentecostals, Churches of Christ, who listed on this, was considered denominational to the rest of the world, and Jehovah's Witness is full immersion. Baptisms, to some other, what they call themselves churches, use aspersion, which is the sprinkling. We see that in a lot of Catholicism. Effusion is pouring on of water. This was just taken from the World Wide Web, so I mean, I've not done any research to find out the true aspects of the developments of their church. I just thought that it was an interesting fact to share. Something that caught my eye as well. It even talks about the different ages that they use for baptism in some of these what they call congregations. Infants, adults, especially age 8 and up. So some of the churches go by an age requirement for baptism. Some of them, again, utilize either effusion, aspersion, immersion, or full immersion. We're going to learn through some of the studies while we do what, at least they got us right on this one, was full immersion. So we help establish that point. But some of those I thought was kind of interesting. And so I start taking a look down into the further meaning of baptize, like we did with pretty much all the things that have led up to this point. Baptize has been broken down into various forms. We see baptize, it can be used as a noun. It can be used as a verb, meaning an action. Three definitions according to Merriam-Webster Dictionary of baptism, or baptize, is to administer baptism, to purify or cleanse spiritually, especially by a purging, to give a name to. I thought that was kind of an interesting aspect that they would attach that for a definition. Baptisma, the noun sense of baptize, is baptism consisting of the process of immersion, submersion, or emergence. Submersion, I always thought about the submarine just to myself, where it completely goes under the water. It requires itself to be fully enveloped inside of that. That's the same concept that we see in the scriptures as well. There hasn't been anything that has led me to sprinkling, partaking of salvation, partial immersion. We've had multiple studies on that as well. Baptismos, the other noun form of baptize, can be considered as very literal sense of washing, such as things found in, let's turn over there, Mark chapter 7, and look at that example of a literal washing. Mark 7, starting at verse 4. It says, "And when they came from the market, except they wash, they eat not. Many other things there be which they have received to hold, as what? The washing of cups and pots, brazen vessels, and of tables." Drop down to verse 8. "For laying aside the commandment of God, ye hold the tradition of men, as the washing of pots and cups, so many such things like you do." So we see at least the sense of the term baptismos and the noun version of that in the very literal sense of things being washed. Look at Hebrews chapter 9. Let's turn over there. Hebrews 9, and we'll read in verse 10 another form of this baptismos in the noun version. Chapter 9 and verse 10 says, "Which stood only in meats and drinks and diverse or various washings, carnal ordinances imposed on them until the time of Reformation." So just looking at some of the different terms and how baptize is used in its own sense, in this noun version here, baptize, we see, and some of these I still have a tough time pronouncing, baptistes, I believe, is just a Baptist. It's a noun that's strictly used only of John the Baptist that we have found, at least that I found in my studies. Baptizo, the verb, which means to baptize, probably our most frequent form of that, Vines has listed it as the frequent form of bapto, which means to dip, was used among the Greeks to signify the dyeing of a garment or the drawing of water by dipping a vessel into another. And I underscored that because I thought that was an interesting caveat that they used there, from dipping a vessel into another. If I've seen some of those staining, it requires in order to stain the entire garment, you have to get it all soaked. There is no, unless you're doing some tie-dye of some sort, you know, and maybe splashing some bleach on some of those clothes that I've probably ruined in my times as well. We see that submersion, dipping that vessel into another. So let's look at Matthew chapter 28 in verse 19. Matthew 28:19. Go ye therefore, teach all nations, doing what? Baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. And always I like to read verse 20 after that. Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. We still see that baptizing, that is used in the sense of a verb. It is an action that was commanded. It's a requirement. Christ told them that. All power is given unto me into heaven and earth. He's laid the authority. He's told them, go. There's a command, right? Teach all nations. Another aspect. Teaching them what? To baptize. Why would Christ have them teach baptism in the name of the Father, of himself, and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded? As we continue to go through this, we'll start to lay down some more aspects of that. But baptism to be undergone by believers, thus witnessing to their identification with him in death, in burial, and in resurrection that we're going to establish here in just a little bit longer. Turn over with me to Acts chapter 19. Acts 19, verse 5 and 6. For those that are doing a Sunday class, I believe we didn't get too far from covering this. I believe we're what? Acts 20? Yep. So, Acts chapter 19, verse 5 and 6. When they heard this, they were what? Baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And when Paul had laid his hands on them, the Holy Ghost came on them, and they spoke with tongues and prophesied. Another form of the term baptized in the verb sense. Turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Trying to look at how does the scriptures utilize all of these terms. We've understood hearing, we've understood belief, we've understood confession, repentance, and how they relate to Christ's church that he's established from Matthew 16:18, right? Upon this rock I build my church. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 13 through 16, it says, "Is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you? Or were you baptized in the name of Paul? I thank God that I baptized none of you but Crispus and Gaius, lest any of you say that I had baptized in my own name. And I baptized also the household of Stephanas. Besides, I know not whether I baptized any of you." Over in chapter 12, turn over there again to also make that point. Chapter 12 and verse 13. Chapter 12, verse 13. "For by one Spirit are we all baptized into what? One body. Whether we be Jews, Gentiles, bond or free, we have all been made to drink into one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many." And again, we see some of those things there. Baptism that we've established there in 1 Corinthians, The baptizing to one body. If we go up to the verse 12, again, the thing that we read earlier, for the body as being a member, right? The body has many members, and all the members of that one body being many are one body. So also is Christ. Christ is listed as one body. "For by one Spirit we are all baptized into one body. Whether we be this, whether we be that, Jew, Gentile, bond, or free." So we're establishing again, just continuing to establish that fact of how baptism is related to Christ, the things that he teaches, the things that is necessary for us to be in Christ. Turn over to Galatians chapter 3. Galatians 3, starting at verse 27. For you are all children of God by what? By faith. We established that faith was also part of belief in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as what has been baptized into Christ, you have done what? You have put on Christ. So if we've been baptized into Him, that means we've put Him on, okay? So we've put on the body of Christ by being baptized. How do we continue to establish of how to put the body on? Water is associated with that, but we're going to continue to see. I thought this was an interesting grammar use. This is something I've seen in some of the studies as well, and I figured I'd actually just bring it to you as well. If any of y'all have any additional thoughts on grammatical voices, I thought it was an interesting aspect. But a middle voice is a grammatical voice, a grammar voice, in which the subject itself both performs and receives the action expressed by the verb. So when we're looking at baptizo in the middle voice, in Acts 22 and 16, the commandment that was given to Saul of Tarsus said, arise and be baptized. So he was also the receiver and he performed those actions as well in that grammatical middle voice. I thought that was an interesting, seeing again, just our study of the scriptures and how the language talks, how it uses those different words in those different different sentences, and how it's all trying to tell the exact same story of there are things that are related to being in Christ. There are things that's related to understanding how to get into Christ, how to understand salvation, what's required for that. So now for the last little bit here that we have left, we're gonna look at a few passages. From those passages, if you've been following along on some of your pamphlet, I know we've kind of been jumping around a little bit, but all of these are going to be listed there under under its memberships, person who is, they're baptized. So we're going to go through all of those right there and read them and look at how these terms are used into establishing baptism into Christ. If you'd like to open up your Bibles as well, we'll read there. We'll start off in Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6, verses 1 through 11. It states unto us that what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we, that are dead to sin, live any longer therein? Know ye not that what? So many of us as were what? Baptized into Jesus Christ was baptized into what? His death. Now this is a new aspect. We've established that baptism saves us. Now we're understanding that baptism is being baptized into his death. Okay, what does this continue to tell us? Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. So if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall also be also in the likeness of his resurrection, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is freed from sin. Now if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more. Death hath no more dominion over him. For in he that died, that's where my Bible pages split up there. For in that he died unto sin once. In verse 10, but in that he liveth unto God. Likewise, reckon ye also unto yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God, through Christ Jesus our Lord. We've established that we're buried with Christ through baptism. Verse 4, and if any of you are like myself, I know Donnie talks about it all the time, highlight those things inside of your Bibles. These are very valid points of understanding baptism with Christ. We're buried with him by baptism to be just like him, just as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so also we should walk in the newness of life. Physically, we haven't died. Spiritually, we are taking that death to be as Christ is like, but to physically walk in a newness of life as Christ was. For if we've been planted together in the likeness of his death, right? We shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him. Turn over to Colossians chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2 talks about another form of that being buried, starting at verse 6. Colossians 2 and verse 6. As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so what? Walk ye in him. Rooted, built up in him, established in the faith, as you have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy, through vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. For in him, meaning Christ, dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and you are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power, in whom also you are circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, in putting off the body of sins of the flesh of the circumcision of Christ. Look in verse 12. What does that say? Buried with him in baptism. Okay. That's what we just read about before in our previous verses as well. In Romans chapter 6, we're buried with him in baptism. So you're telling me again in another book later on that we're also buried with him in baptism. We're also, let's keep reading, wherein also you are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God, who hath raised him from the dead. And we'll stop there. We're establishing that point again. Baptism is related with being buried. Being buried with who? Christ. So if in order to be baptized, and we read in 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 21 that baptism doth also not save us, salvation must also come from being buried with Christ. So we're establishing that point there in Colossians chapter 2, in Romans chapter 6. But how are we buried with Christ? Well, we read about how we are buried with Christ in Acts chapter 8. Turn over there with me now. Again, this is going to seem some more familiar things, but as we've studied in all those things as conditions to join, a lot of those things continue to mention each one of these terms. Hear, believe, repent, confess, be baptized. Acts chapter 8. This goes back to Philip and the eunuch. And starting in verse 35, we'll see an interesting statement here. Then Philip opened his mouth to the eunuch and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. And as they went on their way, they came unto a certain water. And the eunuch said, see, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? So we understand, we'll stop there. Verse 36, he heard something from Philip, right? He's established a hearing. He's established that there is something that's important about water. Here is water, he said unto Philip. What hinders me to be baptized? Well, Philip said to him in verse 37, if you believe with all your heart, you may. And he answered and said, and this is, comes back to our confession, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Verse 38, what happened? Water is associated with baptism. Does it matter how the water is used? He commanded the chariot to stand still. They went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and baptized him. And then when they were come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip, the eunuch saw no more, and he went on his way rejoicing. So we've established that baptism means buried. Buried, when we bury something, if I know I've done it multiple times as a child, you bury something out in the backyard, you cover it up with dirt, it's buried. When we lose people, we bury them in the ground. We don't leave part of them exposed. We don't leave a portion of that exposed. Buried means under. So we understand that burial is under. If Philip is talking about water, and they both went into the water, and we have to be buried like Christ was, then that must mean, just from some sort of sense, that we must be buried in water. So we can establish that being buried in water must mean we have to be fully submerged in water to help establish that fact. Is there any other scriptures that talk about in water? Verse 47 of chapter 10 in Acts. Just a chapter over. Excuse me, two chapters over, verse 47. And he said, can any man forbid water that he should not be baptized, which we have received the Holy Ghost as well as we? And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. Then prayed they him to tarry certain days. Again, we're still seeing water being used in that sense of baptized. We're seeing buried in the sense of baptism. So does it do anything else? Does baptism reference anything else in the scriptures with apart from us? Does it serve any other purpose? Acts 22 and verse 16 tells us something. And over there. Acts 22 and verse 16 tells us that, and now, why tarriest thou? Arise and do what? Be baptized. Okay, for what? Wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord. So you're telling me now that I got to be buried with him. There's water required. Well, I can't wash anything without water. Dirt just makes me more dirty, so I have to wash with water to get clean. What am I cleansing of myself? Well, I'm cleansing away the sins. Baptism's doing that for me. So I'm becoming Christ-like. I'm being baptized in water for the remission of my sins. Is there anything else that the scriptures talk about like that? Acts 2, verse 38. We mentioned that before. Peter said unto them, said what? Repent and be baptized. Okay, so we see repentance is there again. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of who? In the name of Jesus Christ. For what? For the remission of sins. And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Okay, so again, we're drawing our point to understand. Help us to draw these factors together. We've heard the word, we've believed it, we've repented, we've confessed of our sins. A lot of these things point to this baptism thing. The baptism continues to point to Jesus Christ, continues to point to the burial, continues to point to remission of sins. It also points here that it's also in order to save us. So, again, coming back to our first passage, which was what? 1 Peter chapter 3 in verse 20 and 21. And I listed 20 here because there was an important fact that I think sometimes we overlook. Sometime we were disobedient, verse 20, when once the long-suffering of God waited in the days of Noah, while the ark was preparing, wherein few, that is, eight souls, had something happen to them. They were saved by something specific. They were saved by water. He's also making that correlation to us in verse 21. The like figure, meaning what just happened in verse 20, the like figure that saved those eight people, even baptism, doth also now save us in that aspect. So we've understood that water was there, water saved, burial is the like figure that we do that with. Baptism also now saves us, but we still trying to figure out how to put on Christ. And so we figure out, what does Galatians chapter 3 in verse 26 and verse 27 tell us? 26 says, for you are all the children of God by faith in Jesus Christ, Christ Jesus. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ, we put on Christ. So now we've established that baptism now allows us to have put Christ on, to be Christ-like. As a lot of those other ones said, so we were baptized just in the like manner of him through burial. We understand that we were baptized in water, and through all of that, again, we've put that baptism, we've been able to put him on, put Christ on. And to finish that off, we come back to another passage. So if we've been buried like Christ into one body, the church. So 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 12 tells us that for as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by what? One Spirit are we all what? Baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have all been made to drink into one Spirit. So, have we been able to answer the questions of what it means to join Christ's church? We've established that hearing was there, belief, repent, confession. But now, to be baptized is to all be like Christ. We understood that Christ established the church. He's the founder, the head, to be like Christ, to become as Christ, like. To be in Christ is now established through all those points there. So So that can only tell us that if we're going to be like Christ and he established a church, we can make those understandings that all those points there would tell us that we've answered those questions. In order to join Christ's church, we must do those things. And that allows us to join the church. Of course, for any of those that were not here, so, have you met any of those conditions? All right? Those are important conditions. If you haven't, let's talk some more about that. So that'll finish us up for this evening. As we've established now that Christ founded the church, we've established how to join it. The next point is to establish, well, what do you do once you get in the church? And that's what we're going to start talking about from here. So we have a few points there that you'll see on your pamphlet there. We'll actually drop down to it's worship in spirit and truth. So the next few points that we'll talk about is communion, singing, praying, giving, and teaching. So if you want to do your own studies on that ahead of time, please feel free. But that closes up for the evening tonight for Bible studies. Any other questions or comments, things you all would like to point out? No? All right. Thank you.